Hello, this is Father Adam from St. John's Episcopal Church. Due to the social distancing because of the COVID-19 coronavirus, we are recording sections of our service. We will continue to do this and likely expand what we record and put on our website as long as this is necessary. This is a new means of expression of our faith, but one that I'm sure connects us to God. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to treat us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely, we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, We see, your sin remains. The Gospel of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Jesus was walking with some Pharisees, and they saw a blind man, and suddenly everyone there was an expert regarding what it might take for a person to be born blind. Now, we are a much more democratic society than people in ages past. Certainly, those of us in the United States in 2012 are much more democratic people than people around Jesus in Jesus' time. It wasn't always so. If it was the turn of the 20th century, say 1901, in the United States, and you were a businessman, and you wanted to send a letter to the female, you either sent the letter addressed to her father or her husband. Now, you will hardly find a person living in the United States who would find this normal now, but that's the way it was. I do have a story from a few years ago. A good friend of mine from West Virginia, she moved with her husband to Louisville, Kentucky for a while. She's my age, so she's about 46. And she went one day to buy a refrigerator. And the salesperson at the store said, Well, I mean, I can sell you a refrigerator, but we have to call your husband to get his permission. Now, Margaret, my friend, she needed a refrigerator. So she got out her cell phone and called her husband, and her husband talked to the salesperson. But her husband, before he concluded his conversation with the salesperson, said, Listen, guy, you got to know, this is not going to be a good day for you. And he hung up the phone. And so goes the story of recent patriarchy. Now, you can find exception upon exception to the structures of patriarchy in history, especially among elite circles. So, for instance, the reign of Catherine the Great as Empress of Russia. But these exceptions have great power because they sit against a giant backdrop of person after person who would think about man's work and women's work. Class structures are also much more fluid now than they used to be. That doesn't mean that there's more broad distribution of money in our society. In fact, wealth has been polarized in the United States more and more since the 1970s. Since the 1970s, we've seen the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. But you'd be hard-pressed to find a person in our society who argues that you are born to a certain lot in life. If I went to a high school football game during halftime and grabbed the microphone and argued that some people are born to be royal and to rule, and some are born peasant to be ruled, I'd be laughed at. And most of this democratization of our society is for the best. I can remember that my grandmother used to tell her children, "Remember, no one is better than you, and you are not better than anyone else." But a downside to our democratizing of our society is that we have become a society in which everybody gets to be their own expert on everything. The best example of how the removal of much of the strict social rules results in a different world, the best example comes from reality television competitions. These days, you can turn on a television and watch a show where someone performs, and then the person is publicly judged by a celebrity. Now, you might assume that the celebrity doing the judging is an expert in their field of competition, but not in our democratic age. These days, you might have somebody who's a singer judging an English professor on that English professor's knowledge of literature. Or you might have a celebrity chef judging a singer, or a singer judging a chef. Such is the trade-off in our democratic age. In our democratic age, everybody is an expert. Now, before you lament this unbelieving and perverse generation, remember, it used to be that either you were born royal or born a peasant. And people in Jesus' time did plenty of playing the expert. They just needed a title, like Pharisee. Pharisees definitely believed that they knew how the world works. If you were born blind, your blindness was caused either by your parents' sin or by yours. Take that one step further and assume that a baby doesn't have much time to sin, so it's probably the parents' fault. Certainly, to the Pharisees, nothing important happens just because of random chance. In the Pharisees' mind, God has made a perfect world, and good and bad things are simply rewards or punishments from a righteous God. And therefore, if you have problems, it is your fault, or at least the fault of someone in your family. There's cause and there's effect. To the Pharisees in the Gospel of John, nothing is left to chance. But today, Jesus saw them. In today's gospel, Jesus is the Son of Man. He's the Messiah, trying to lead a crowd of stiff-necked Pharisees to stop pretending as if they understand everything. Now, in my time as a follower of God, I've either rarely or never come across fellow Christians who say a man's blindness is caused by his sin or the sin of his parents. So while I don't encounter people claiming expertise regarding birth conditions, like was done by the Pharisees, I do encounter people who act like complex problems are simple. Let me give you two situations. Situation A. How often do I hear someone ask, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Situation B. How often do I hear someone say, this complex problem that I just heard about, sure, fix it by doing, my favorite thing, and that'll fix everything. How often do I come across situation A? Never. How often do I come across situation B? At least twice a week. So, how do we engage this world while not becoming modern-day Pharisees, spewing out ill-advised expertise? Well, we can follow the example of the man who gained his sight. The formerly blind man kept getting questioned by the Pharisees, and then his parents got in on the action, and then he was questioned again. And the blind man never gave a grand theory of what causes things to happen in the world. The blind man kept to his brief. The formerly blind man talked about what he had experienced. And once he had relayed his experiences, then he stopped talking. This formerly blind man would have been horrible on reality television, but he's great in life. Now, I just finished reading a book called Talking to Strangers by the journalist Malcolm Gladwell, and it's a book about how people talk to people that they don't know. It's a book about police engaging members of the public, or people who are operatives for intelligence agencies trying to root out double agents in their midst, or college students who meet other college students at a party. And if there's a take-home point from this book, it is that we rarely know what we think we know about other people. And this is quadruple true for strangers. And something I noticed from the book was that when an official acting in their job, say a sheriff's deputy in suburban Texas, when an official acting their job is cornered in wrongdoing, and that person tries to wiggle their way out of a tight situation, that person often said something like, well, in my experience, the world works like this, A, B, and C, so my behavior was entirely justified. And that person never offers any evidence that the world works like this, A, B, and C. It's just asserted based on undescribed experience. But what would it be like if we all had the humility not to act like the Pharisees and play expert in areas where we have no expertise? As I mentioned earlier this Lent, we tend to think of sin as individual acts of rudeness, cutting someone off in traffic, hoarding hand sanitizer when there's a virus outbreak in the news. We could all take a page from the man given sight. He was asked, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." And I ask this in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.